Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome into another episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I am Will Thomas, week 6 preview. Now, this week, it's a much more condensed week of SEC football. We only have 5 games, and one of those is Kent State's involved. So this will be a shorter preview, but let's just get right into this slate of games. I'll start off with the one that no one's really going to watch, Kent State at Oklahoma. Oklahoma is favored by 45.5. Now, the biggest storyline in this game, obviously, is that Michael Hawkins Jr. is at quarterback for Oklahoma while John Mateer continues to rehab from his thumb surgery. Now, there is tons of positivity around him and Norman, and this really is a stress-free game for him to open up with. This is a great spot, a really good schedule wrinkle for Oklahoma to get Kent State here at home right before Texas. Now, originally this would just be one more tune-up game, right? Just get ready for the Longhorns. Now you're getting Hawkins 60 minutes of game experience before he might need to be the guy for Oklahoma when they go take on Texas. Kent State really shouldn't score more than 7 in this game. I mean, Oklahoma's defense is absolutely phenomenal under Brent Venables. So really my question is, you know, what do we see Oklahoma do with Hawkins? How much are they opening it up for him? Because they know better than everybody else in that building whether, like, the odds of Mateer playing against Texas. I do think they exist, but it would be a bit of a surprise, I think. So how comfortable can you get him? How much do you put him in situation-wise right now against Kent State? I think you have to really just unload the clip with him. You need to expose him to everything. You need to ask him to do everything you would ask Mateer to do, because this is the situation where he can make mistakes. If he throws a pick, makes a bad read, it's okay, because Kent State is probably not going to capitalize on it. So you really need to let Hawkins cut loose. Let him make mistakes in this game so you can learn from them and not make the mistakes against Texas. Because if you make mistakes against Texas, they will hurt you a lot more than Kent State will. So in this game, what I'm really looking for is Oklahoma's defense just to stay solid, stay consistent, and shut down Kent State, which they really shouldn't score more than, I already said, more than 7 points, but they should not score at all. And just let Michael Hawkins get comfortable. I want to see them keep the playbook open. I don't really want to see a condensed playbook for Hawkins. Get him comfortable, allow him to make mistakes if he does, and we'll see where they go from there. Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia is favored by 20.5, and they just got beat at home by Bama. Georgia is going to be pissed off that they let that game go to the tide and they didn't pick up a big home win in conference. This is a bounce-back situation for Georgia to prove that they are still a top dog, no pun intended, in the SEC. And Kentucky's getting wheeled in for their weekly conference loss to Athens. You got Cutter Bowley at quarterback, but now he has to go play in Athens. The only way, in my mind, that Kentucky keeps this close and respectable and is able to cover that number is if Seth McGowan becomes Superman, right? He has been their best player on offense all year. Can he score 3 times? You know, can he average 5 yards per carry? Can he be a threat in the receiving game as well? This game really lies on Seth McGowan's ability to take over and do things that human beings can't normally do. I don't really see it. I do think Georgia lays the hammer. Georgia minus 20.5 will be one of my best bets. I just think this is such a bad spot for Kentucky, having to go to Athens to play Georgia in a bounce-back spot after a bad loss. Biggest 3 games of the week here. Start with Mississippi State at Texas A&M. This line opened up with A&M favored by 11.5. It has now ballooned up to 14.5 across a major key number. I've been very impressed with Mississippi State. I had them winning just 3 games all year, and they've already beaten them, and they look pretty dangerous. Just a few plays away from taking down Tennessee and staying undefeated, losing that game in overtime, obviously. And I'm definitely sold on Texas A&M being a true contender in the SEC this year. Now, that almost has less to do with me thinking that A&M is an elite team and that they finally put it all together. But, man, this conference is wide open. It's so open, and A&M is good enough where they can compete any given week with anybody, which is the story for a lot of these teams in the conference this year. A&M's defense, even with their performance against Auburn, where they only give up 10 points, they still grade out poorly against explosives, and Mississippi State can really sling the ball around with Shapen to those wideouts. They've scored a lot of points in multiple big spots already this year. And A&M offensively, they have a bad success rate on passing down, so they can be very explosive. We've seen Marcel Reed hit Casey Concepcion and Mario Craver for big explosive plays, but consistently, they don't really pass the ball around that effectively. So the question is, can Le'Veon Moss and Ruben Owens really ground and pound and keep A&M in front of the chains? Not have Marcel Reed be forced to make a bunch of big plays through the air, because State's run defense is middle of the pack. So I do think there are some wins there for the Aggies on the ground. But their run game also grades as just okay. I mean, A&M's athletic profile definitely beats that of Mississippi State. So I'm looking for A&M's run game to have a good day against the Bulldogs. Mississippi State, defensively, very good at limiting opposing teams in points per opportunity. So if they're able to hold A&M to field goals and not let them get into the end zone, that's how they can hang around in this game and make it interesting. Now, the inverse of that is true for A&M's defense. So I do believe that Mississippi State, when they get down, they can probably get sevens instead of having to settle for three. Both of those need to happen. State needs to hold A&M to field goals, and they need to convert their touchdowns. Now, that sounds pretty obvious, but that is really the biggest matchup in this game for me, to see if Mississippi State can keep it close. Overall, I think this is going to be a pretty similar story as last week's game against Tennessee for Mississippi State. I think that they're a solid team. They'll hang around. I just don't know if they're quite good enough to win this game, especially on the road in College Station. My score prediction is right around 31-21 in favor of the Aggies. Texas at Florida. I'm going to be at this game. I'm going to be there. And that was a much more exciting prospect about a month and a half ago than it is right now. Florida just looks like a dead program. And I think that they need to begin their coaching search sooner rather than later. Napier is just not going to, he's not going to get it done. We've seen the same problems pop up for this Florida team over the past 4 years. Nothing's really getting better. The talent profile couldn't be any better for Napier right now. And he's 1-3. They just can't get it done. And I don't know, like, in terms of Texas, right, they're really good. They're still ranked in the top 10. They've underwhelmed so far. They haven't looked near as dominant as we thought they would be. And I don't know if Florida's defense gets up off the mat again to fight. That's been what's keeping the Gators in all these games. They're holding all these teams to, like, 20-ish, sometimes less, and they're just losing games. So for Florida, 11 guys will line up on defense and play each snap. I don't know if they can maintain that mindset and that execution to be a playoff-caliber unit consistently when they know they have to hold the other team to like 13 to win. And Texas's defense is so good. We know that they'll fight because they're still, I mean, they want to make the playoff. They want to make the SEC championship game. They're going to come out swinging. And on the road for Texas, that defense knows that they are really that turning point to keep Texas in a good spot to win this game. Arch Manning, he finally looked good in their last game against Sam Houston. And there was a lot of controversy about him flexing on that Sam Houston defender. I liked it. I liked seeing the fire out of him, some more confidence, because that's been missing from his game so far this season. There were reports a few weeks ago about DJ Lagway being in a boot after that Miami game. That's really a nothing burger. He will be playing in this game for Florida. I just don't think many points get scored in this game, period, especially by Florida. We have two great defenses. Like I said, we know Texas will show up, and I do believe that Florida's defense will play with some pride being back at home for the first time since that USF loss. I'm pretty comfortable saying, honestly, that Florida doesn't break 13. I think that's probably about the number that the Gators can get to. And Texas probably does what LSU and Miami did offensively, which is we're going to be pretty conservative and not risk making any mistakes because we know that Florida's offense just can't hurt us. They can't. So if we just get to 20, we're fine. I think Texas is going to be able to establish the run game pretty well. An easy game plan for Arch. Don't make many mistakes. I've got 27-13 Texas in Gainesville, and I believe that if Florida loses this game, we probably see the coaching carousel get up and moving in Gainesville. Although we've thought that for a long time about Napier's tenure with the Gators, and it hasn't happened yet, so maybe they hold on to him. We'll see. But I think a 1-4 start for Florida, that is just not that standard, and you would think a coaching change has to be made at that point. And then finally, who would have thought I said this was the game of the week in the preseason? Vanderbilt at Alabama, just like we all predicted, game day is going to see undefeated Vanderbilt go for two straight against the Tide. Now, Bama opened up as 13.5-point favorites. That line has flown down now to 10.5. And last week, Vandy got a cupcake home game against Utah State, and Bama had to go on the road to Athens. Those are very different levels of recovery there as you get ready for this game. Bama was in a physical war. Vandy really wasn't. So we'll see how both teams come in energy-wise. Vandy's offensive success rates, they're very good, and Bama's are middle of the pack. So, granted, if Vanderbilt also had games against Florida State on the road and Georgia, their numbers are probably a little bit lower. But this far into the season, I do believe we have enough data points to be pretty confident in those numbers and just know that this is what, like, those numbers tell the story, right? This is who Vandy's offense is. This is who Bama's offense is. And Vandy has very good rushing stats on both sides of the ball, whether that be line yards or stuff rate, while Bama's are just average. So Vandy, they need to limit Jam Miller. They need to limit Bama's running game and make Ty Simpson beat them in the air. Now, the bad side of that for Vanderbilt is that Ty Simpson has proved that he can beat teams in the air. He's a very good passer, great receiving core there in Tuscaloosa. It's going to be hard for Vanderbilt's secondary, I think, to consistently find wins against Bama's passing game, although I do believe they'll be able to really hold their own. Both teams do score very well across their opponent's 40 and allow more than you would like. So this could be a game where you're trading touchdown for touchdown instead of field goal for field goal. There could be a good bit of points scored in this game. If Vanderbilt was going into this game with Tennessee's logo or Auburn's logo, right? This line is not 10.5. I think it's 6.5. There's still the Vanderbilt bias out there, right? Where people don't know if they really buy, is this program actually legit? Can they really compete in Tuscaloosa against big old Alabama? I think that they can. I am all aboard the Diego Pavia train. I think that Clark Lee is a top five coach in the conference because if you look at what he's done with the money that Vanderbilt has spent on their roster compared to everybody else, Vandy has the cheapest roster in the SEC. They are 5-0 in the top 20. And Lee has been turning this program around for years, and it really feels like they're coming up right now. And this is the game to prove that they are a legitimate playoff contender and SEC contender. Vanderbilt. It's happened so fast, but it is so real. Pavia is an absolute winner. The whole team believes in him. They believe in themselves, and they believe in what they're doing. Give me Vanderbilt 31-28 to get a massive win in Tuscaloosa and be a playoff team. I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm going to get made fun of on the internet. Oh, boy. Vanderbilt is so fun. I think Alabama's great, but I've said it 100 times already. This conference is so open. Anybody can beat anybody any given week. And I think that we get the epitome of that when Vanderbilt goes to Tuscaloosa this weekend. Short video. Really short one. I'm at 11:45 right now. I mean, this is much quicker. We just don't have that many games to preview. But do not let the lack of volume make you think that this week is not going to be great. Vandy Bama should be good. Texas Florida should be boring but close. State and A&M should be pretty good. Kentucky and Georgia, don't let your kids watch it. They will be scarred for life if they watch what Georgia does in Kentucky this week. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of Tailgate Talk SEC. I have been Will Thomas, and sit back and enjoy this week 6 of college football.